Thank you.
All right, I'd like to introduce Dr. Locklear and Dr. Moore, who is going to give us a workshop on our upcoming 10th year compliance certification with SAC COC. That's our big accreditation that we have a lot of small ones with our programs, but this is the big one that does all of the colleges in the Southeast. Like my colleague, Embry Riddle, institution gets the same accreditation with Cookman, Stetson, and so on. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Dr. Locklear.
Thank you and good afternoon. Carla and I want to give you an overview of this process and at the end, focus on your role because you have a very important role in the reaffirmation. As Tom mentioned, it is critically important to be regionally accredited. We are in the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges. That's what SAC COC stands for. We sometimes use SACs as shorthand, but they really like us to say the full name. 800 colleges are accredited through SACs, including all the universities, public universities in Florida and a lot of the privates. And as Dr. Labasso mentioned, our nearby neighbors. We have been very fortunate to have good accreditation reviews all along. If we were to lose accreditation, which we're not going to do, but should that happen, you cannot disperse federal financial aid and your courses will not transfer to other institutions. So there's a lot riding on it. You really can't operate without accreditation. So we take it very seriously. It's a long process. Carla's going to start with a timeline, but we're happy to answer any questions and we'll get started. So Carla, I'll turn it over to you. Carla is the SACS liaison for the college, as well as several other hats.
Good afternoon. As Dr. Locklear mentioned, all the institutions that are accredited under SAC COC go a review process every 10 years. So today we wanted to present our process timeline and the process overview. So this process has different parts. It is starting with a compliance certification report that includes 40 standards that we have to respond to and provide evidence of compliance. This report is due on March 1st, 2023. The second part is the quality enhancement plan, and this is an essential part of the reaffirmation process. It is essential because it is our reaffirmation as an institution that we want to improve the overall student, the learning outcomes, and student success. This QEP, it is due 6 weeks prior to our on-site visit. The other step is the off-site committee review. And this is a review of different evaluators from different areas, such as administration, finance, academic affairs, institutional effectiveness, the library, support services, and they take our compliance certification report and in a period of 8 weeks, we'll review that report. And that will happen in the spring of 2023 once we submit the report. Then in around fall 2023, we'll have an on-site committee visit. And this is key because they will another group of evaluators will come and will visit all campuses, will interview faculty, staff, administrator, our president, and some of you as well. And then they will make a final recommendation, and this recommendation will be finally voted by the SAC COC board of trustees in the summer of 2024. So we are, that's why we are called the class of 2024, but as you see, it's a lengthy process and we already started working on it. So with that, I'm going to pass this to Dr. Locklear and she will introduce our steering committee members.
Thank you, Carla. So it is a full college effort and it involves everyone at the college at some level. This is the steering committee. You can see that we have people from all different departments and parts of the college. Next, I'm going to show you a detailed slide that I'm not going to go over line by line, but I want to point out these 40 standards. Now, first, I would like to say we're very lucky to be doing 40 because there are 73. But because we have a very good record, SACS will allow us to do what is called differentiated process and only answer 40 because we've had a successful fifth year report and we're in very good standing. So that's good news. But these 40 standards, each one has to be explained and then evidence produced to back it up. So you'll see section 4 is on the Board of Trustees. When you see CR next to a standard, that means it is a core requirement. You cannot be reaccredited without satisfactory answers on the core requirements. And then the ones with asterisks are federal requirements required by the federal government. Federal government, which administers the Pell Grants, relies on the regional accreditation in order to allow us to disperse aid. So that's how that relationship works. So for example, when we look at the governing board characteristics, which is a core requirement, there'll be sub-levels under there, including conflict of interest. So when we write this, we will show the forms that you all sign, saying you understand the conflict of interest, and we'll use an example of a time a board member recused him or herself from a vote because of some, it happens, from time to time, but we'll show that as an example of how we follow our policies. Other very important standards to address are the faculty qualifications. For this, we list everyone who has taught at the college over the previous 3 years with a link to their own transcript showing that they have the credentials that are required in order to teach the classes we've assigned to them. The institutional planning is very important to demonstrate. When you approve the strategic plan, we will use the minutes from the board meeting to demonstrate that you have reviewed it at that level. And we'll also document the entire process that we do to create the strategic plan. There's a lot of standards about the programs themselves. Are they long enough? Are the faculty qualified to teach them? And then you'll see there's an important standard on student achievement. It is both federal and a core requirement. This is where we are demonstrating that we document how well our students do and in multiple ways. And we have a very robust process that we use where we evaluate multiple ways every class. So we're going to be in great shape on that one. Of course, there's a lot of them on financial resources and financial responsibility. The colleges that have trouble with SACS, it's often this one. We're not worried about that one at all. We'll be in good shape, but it's very important that we supply very thorough information on that. One standard that's brand new this time is 12.6 student debt. And there we will be required to show that we educate students about debt that they take on through loans and other means and that they are fully informed. Student complaints is another one. That's the one where we take actual examples of complaints, redact the names, and we show SACS that we followed through and solved the complaint or addressed it in some way. So it's that detailed. Every one of these is like writing a short book. So the final document is huge once it's all put together. And we have a platform that we created in. Everything is linked to the sources and the examples. We'll, of course, reference our catalog. We'll reference board minutes. We'll reference agendas and so forth as we go through to build this document. So by the time you get through with it, you really know a lot about the college. It's a great exercise to go through. And it's important, but it's also a way to tweak some things that you find and to better understand our own processes. So I've been through one before at another institution, and we have several members of our staff that have done that. And so we bring that experience. Of course, Dr. Labasa has been through it too, so he can lead us in this process very, very well. So
I think this will be my fifth.
Yeah, it is a process. So we appreciate his leadership there, and we're going to do our very best to show the college in the best possible light, and I'm sure we will. Carla mentioned the visit. will be the most stressed out to people that when the visit comes. They come for 5 days, and they fly in, assuming everyone's flying in. They fly in, and then they stay 4 days, and they visit with all these people. They can interview students. They'll interview some of you. They'll interview faculty, et cetera. And then the very last day, they hold a meeting where they give us their initial response, and then everybody just, like, falls down in exhaustion. But that's an exciting time, though, because you really get to show off the college. If they find a problem, they give you what they call a recommendation. It sounds so benign, but no one wants a recommendation. And a lot of times it's just something that they will let you fix right then and get back to them. Our goal is no recommendations. We hope that's where we are. Of course, serious ones are a whole different matter, but that's our goal, is to produce a really good document that shows all the wonderful things that we're doing. So Carla, you want to go over the timeline a bit?
One thing I didn't mention was that even though, I know Dr. Lovasa said this might be his fifth, it's not that he has been in the college for 50 years, but it is because even though we do a reaffirmation every 10 years, there's a checkpoint every 5 years. And we did it back in 2019, where we respond to 24 standards, and we provide over 1,400 evidence of compliance for that report. So this one has 40 standards. I'm thinking maybe double.
Carla, the one we did 10 years ago, did we do the all 70 some odd, or was it a different number back then?
So the last one we did, the 10th year, was back, we submitted the report in 2013.
Right.
That one had all principles. SACS UC in 2017 approved the new 74. So in fact, that one has over 90 standards. So they have reduced and combined the number of standards. And now they approve that differentiated process for those institutions that meet the specific criteria.
Yeah.
And I think we are one of those.
Yeah. Bob and Betty and Lloyd, I believe was here when we did our last 10 year, and I was in Amy's kind of role leading that, and it was a 90 plus standard project. And we did, well, actually, I think we only had the one minor recommendation on a adjunct faculty credential that didn't have a master's degree but had Grammy awards, and that didn't count. But I've not been around 50 years, but it was timing. If I count that one up, it's actually my sixth one. But my first institution, I got there, then I changed to a different college, and the timing, they had one. Then when I got here in 2001, we had our first one, and then I was here for the 10th year, and then now again. So, I'm not that old, but my timing of changing a couple colleges got me to enjoy it. And Randy, you probably, have you been through any?
Been through a couple.
Yeah, so they're, for Randy, this is like watching paint dry right now, but it's a long process, but we got a great team.
If I may add, going through one before, this is no walk in the park. This takes staff days, weeks, months, and years to compile. And it's just not a bunch of nice people coming in and looking you over. They're turning every leaf and every page, and they hold up in a hotel and ask a lot of questions. And you can smile all you want. That ain't going to help. This is a very, very difficult, unbelievable, but a great experience when we get to the end of the light of the tunnel, because we are a great college. But don't be surprised when they call you or question you or take you aside or say that some instructor said you're the worst in the world. I mean, we have to be prepared for that, but it's big time, ladies and gentlemen. It's big time.
Carla, these standards are pretty extensive, and we're going to say that we're tops on all of the standards, so I understand that, but I want to know if you had to guess right now, in advance of the visit and the examination, what do you think are the three most critical areas for improvement?
Well, That's a good question. I can tell you that in those 24 standards that we recently worked on, we didn't have any problem. I mean, our distance education, so let me answer you the opposite, which we are excelling. So our distance education, our student support, our student achievement, our students' outcomes, anything to do with the program faculty, the program coordination, we were excelling at those. New to this time around are two standards. One is 4.2G board self-evaluation. So this is a new one, and this is why we wanted to also go over this standard with all of you. And the second one is the student debt. So those two are new, and I haven't heard from any other institution that have had problems. But I know that one that a lot of other institutions have had a lot of problems is with the student achievement 8.1, which is both a core requirement and a federal requirement, and we didn't have any questions on that one.
And you know, I think the further as what's really good about this, I mean, it's a lot of work, but it really so it might be a little early to answer that. As we start to review this, is where we, you know, we discover some things. Say, okay, you know, the standard is this. We thought we were doing this, but oh, aha, we're not doing this. So we fix it. So, so it's really. As much of it is a lot of work. It really is. It forces you to look at every little aspect of the institution, and you know, to make sure you're doing. And I'm really proud. I mean, for as large of an institution as we are, and all of the diversity of our programs, that we come up so well on these evaluations is a testament to the faculty and staff. So it's a little early but it's a great process, because you'll look at this and you'll start, you know, going through something, going, oh, we said this on the website, but our catalog says this, and we got to fix that, you know. So, and I've been on visiting teams where I've gone as a visit evaluator, and really most of them are there to help. You know, it's not really a gotcha kind of thing, you know, unless they see something major, you know, wrong. But little tweaks here and there you know, good. The two things back when I was pulling my, what I used to have hair, when we did it last time, was the institutional effectiveness and faculty credentials. Those are the two that are difficult. And we sailed through on institutional effectiveness and had that one little tweak on the in the credential, but there are a few new ones, and again, it's a lot of work, but it's a really good process, and you have to use the team. So I'm gonna tell you, Carla and Amy, in front of everybody, we use the team, because don't put it on your shoulders by yourself. It's a lot of work.
But, you know, I asked too, and I appreciate that, because not to put you on a spot, but I think we have an obligation as trustees to assist and make sure, you know, because you are going to kick some things over that maybe have room for improvement, and we have a responsibility to help in any way we can to do that. And you know, it's interesting that we're going through now our annual audits, you know, after 2020, and of course it wasn't the year anyone expected. And you know, we're patting ourselves on the back for doing pretty well during an extraordinary year, but you always have to look for those areas where, you know, aha, you have those moments where it exposes fault lines or weaknesses that you can concentrate on and improve. And but for something like a global pandemic, you never would have discovered those things. So, you know, anyway, I think this is an opportunity, not only in timing for the SACS review, but also to look back at 2020 in particular and say, have we discovered anything about ourselves that we can improve? Because I think it'll help.
And yeah. SACS will, at the kickoff meeting, they'll tell you where the trends are recently, and credentialing, I think, will still be on there. Finances is becoming a big one. And it's not just, I mean, even institutions that look like they are solvent, so to speak, they'll dig under the cover and see if the trend, like, do they have an annual deficit, but they're covering it with surplus. And then the concern is eventually the surplus goes away.
Right.
And so I think there's I think you'll see a lot this year and next year, and you know, who knows how long that'll last, but certainly there are colleges stressed right now. I think we'll fare well, but we'll want to be able to show that it's not just that we're good now, that we're good for the future.
I remember the discussion about private institutions. Again, it's not exactly applicable, but on that point, that we're financially on the border, and then the pandemic hits, and the number doubled. So, you know, you look at what that's going to be. It's going to be transformative when you look at the educational environment, particularly the private college sector. But anyway, it means it does have an impact on the public sector as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I sat on a presentation from Standard & Poor's maybe last week, and they said it was an unprecedented number of institutions that they have downgraded to a negative outlook.
Yes, and I think this is a good segue, because that's why we start our process with plenty of time, because as Dr. Lavasa said, we start with a baseline and start reviewing and see where we might have a weakness so we can improve it as we go. And this is something that our accreditation likes. When we show that we saw a gap and then we took actions, and then here are the new results. So the seeking improvement is a key work for our accreditation. So we already started. We started, and actually, you know, I could set fall 20 with a review of policies and procedures. Then we, this semester and this summer, we are going to be working on the quality enhancement plan, the QEP, making sure that we have, we select a topic that we put together the team, and we have to isn't a complete implementation plan that has to indicate resources, timing, and everything. Then drafting the different narrative, collecting the evidence for compliance, and then the final submission will be on March 1st, 2023. So we are giving ourselves a couple of years to find, take actions, and improve so we can show those results. And then again, the on-site visit will happen between September and November of 2023. We'll have a group between 5 and 9, because it's one for a specific area, but also we have observers that they will, of course, ask for permission if they can come. But they will ask to interview a few of you, and that interview could be on the phone or face-to-face. And hopefully by 2023, this is gone, and we'll have a nice visit. But it's a 5 intensive days of meeting. We have to put together our logistics from where they're going to stay, where they're going to eat, conference rooms with all the equipment for them, etc. So as the governing board, and this is from the research manual, it says that your is to provide the support that the institution needs in terms of resources, so we can complete this process. That you don't have any part on drafting the report or the QEP. However, that you need to understand the process, and you also need to understand the content of those, because maybe that could be part of the conversation that you will have with one of them. And don't worry, we'll get you all set with that. All right. So, here is one of the things that we will need your help and support this year. So we are in the process of reviewing all policies and procedures for the college. We reference a lot of them, and we want to make sure that we also provide examples of compliance. So in the month of February and April, those meetings, you will be reviewing policies group from 1 to 4. And then the board meetings of May and June, you will be reviewing 5 and 6. And then by August and September, you will be reviewing 7 and 8. So that will complete our policies review, and then we'll start with our procedures. Yes, so executive staff are on top of this, and they have been working since last semester. So some of those policies will change, so they will, and you will see what change could be specific name or a different way that we are doing it now, or the reference to the Florida statute, etc. But some of them will be just, will have no changes. So, but it will be noticed that we review it, but there was no changes. So you will see all of that in those. And for policies, we require two readings for cabinet and then the final two readings from you. The second one that we need your help and support is with this new standard 4.2G, which is the board self-evaluation. And as the governing board defines and regularly evaluates its responsibilities and expectations. And also say, as the body that holds in trust the fundamental autonomy and ultimate well-being of the institution, the governing board of the institution is a critical element in the success of the institution. Good institutional governance requires that the board systematically ask itself, how are we doing, what are we doing, and are we as effective as a board as we can be? So these are key areas. You have already developed a very well effective instrument. Thank you, Trustee Haas. She's on the phone? Yeah. So a couple years ago, Lynn, maybe? 2017? Mrs. Hosseini asked Trustee Haas to develop this instrument. And it was developed. You used it, I think, one time. So, yes. So, Dr. Lockyer will go in detail about the key elements of this and also review the instrument with you as well. So this standard is asking that the board define and regularly evaluate two things, responsibilities and expectations. And when you go to write the responses to these standards, you have to like go word by word, parse it out, and answer every component. So we'll be looking for ways that the board has defined its responsibilities and defined the expectations. And then regularly, and they don't tell us what that means, that's up to us, but we need to show that it wasn't just one time it happened, but that it's on some sort of regular basis that it occurs. So Lynn, if we could pull up the instrument that was created a couple of years ago. It is a very good one. Oh, and you have a copy, great. Thank you. So you can see that if you'll scroll down a little bit, there are different areas that each of you can give a rating on, and then there is a box for comments on each of these different sections of the instrument. So I would suggest that you start with this. If you wanted to tweak it, you could, but I think it's pretty good, like it is. It's excellent, really. I would urge, though, that you take the process very seriously and do two things. One, everyone fill it out and be thoughtful about the comments. And then the second step that's important is that the board review the results as a group. Now, one suggestion we might have is that if you did it before your April retreat, that part of what you do at the retreat could be to review the results. But I'll leave that to you. I would also suggest that you, when you share results like comments, that perhaps they are summarized and not identified by the person that said them, but you know, Lynn could put them together and create something that said several, you know, three members mentioned this item, or and then you'll have a score on these. So you'll be able to see the board rated itself high on these items and lower on these, and that might produce some discussion for something that the board might choose to do with professional development or a change in procedure or what have you. Those conversations in that retreat can be documented for our report, which would be an excellent way to show that the board reflected on these responsibilities and acted on them. So that's a suggestion and what we would ask of you to contribute to this, and happy to answer any questions.
Dr. Locklear, can we have this in a digital format so that we can do it electronically? That might actually help with the assembly of the results and the compilation of the results.
Yes, we can certainly do that.
have a quick question. I clearly understand the seriousness of the issue, but I expect nothing less than an excellent result. Is the standard pass, fail, or is there an exceptional level?
No, the thing with SACs is that you can't ever call them and say, is this sufficient? They don't tell you that until they've reviewed you. And then you're reviewed by a team of people, and they will, it's their professional judgment whether you met that standard. And that's why we parse these questions so that we can show, sometimes the writing is honestly kind of clunky. It is, we define the responsibilities by doing this, we define the expectations by doing this, so that there is no way they can say you did not answer part of that question. And if you do that and you have evidence, as Carla mentioned, we'll link directly in the document to the evidence. The fifth year report had 1,400 attachments. We will pepper them with evidence of how we're doing. And if you do all that, you will have met that standard.
Yes, I think that, Amy, correct me if I'm wrong, it's usually you meet the standard or don't meet the standard.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's no standard of excellence above having met the standard.
But for the final output from SAC, there's some distinction.
Because they changed, and I'm not as close to it as I used to be, but there used to be accommodation.
I remember them giving
above and beyond, but I think they might have gotten away from that.
So this is the overachiever part of me just trying to get this out. I understand it's clearly great to see how seriously you're taking this. And is there any acknowledgement beyond just being accredited is what I'm trying to ask. Maybe I didn't ask the question the right way.
Yeah, I do remember for the one that we submitted, our past 10-year reaffirmation, there was an accommodation for the institutional effectiveness one. They praised our work that we did. So it might still be in the new standards, but I'm not completely sure. I will find out for you. Now, there is a standard can be in compliance, partial compliance, or non-compliance. And we really have to be very careful with the ones that have the CR, which is the core requirements, because we have to make sure that we meet all the different elements of that standard the first time, because those are the critical ones. That concludes our presentation. If you have any other questions.
Question.
Great job.
I know you mentioned that we're going to discuss the policies. We've got almost 2 years. Are you going to bring back different portions so we can have a dialogue and discussion as you developed the document?
Let me go back. Oh, sorry, Lynn. The slide where we had the timeline, if I understand your question correctly, they're going to come to you after they have gone through senior staff and two cabinet readings.
Okay.
And then they'll come to you twice. So if you wanted to make changes, this would be something, Tom, you would review with board members before meetings.
You're not going to get them all at the same time. You're going to get them in sections, I believe, correct?
Well, policy group 1 through 4.
Yeah, there it is.
In two readings, policy group. It's a stack. I mean, there's a lot of policies. So.
Yeah.
But most of them we're not changing. So it isn't like we're rewriting dozens of policies and you'll get them all at once. There'll be a few that have some adjustments.
I understand that. I was looking at the various, I didn't my glasses, the different elements of the SACs that we want.
Oh, this part? The standards?
Yeah.
Because we talked about it being a 1,500-page document.
Yes.
So I figured that throughout the process, you'll bring it back to us for some dialogue and discussion.
Some updates or touch points as we go along.
So that we don't wait to the last minute trying to cram in that whole entire document in a couple sittings.
So seeing drafts of the actual document.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you break it in, I figure you'd be breaking it into different sections that you might be working on different sections. So That's just me. So
it's a lot of committees that work on them simultaneously.
Okay.
So there is, it's all within one software platform, though. So
I was trying to remember how we did it before, but
yeah, I don't think we
didn't do it that.
I don't think we shared the actual.
No, we didn't.
Until the end, I think you get a copy of it, but.
I think just a regular update.
Regular updates will give you on how we're progressing.
Process, timeline, where you are, concerns, if there's an obstacle you need our help on.
Yeah, that would help my, that would help.
And then you will be involved in the approval of the, all the policies, as that takes a while to go through and, but yeah, so we'll give you regular, if I remember correctly with the time, we'll give you regular updates on the sections we're working on, what we're finding, and things like
that. It's just
that
the more that we understand that we're able to be answer the questions and be more supportive. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks to both of you. Great presentation. And as everybody said, an incredibly important topic for us, and a lot of work ahead, but good people at the helm.
Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes our workshop.
We've got a few minutes, I think, before we start, so we'll take a break in place.
Okay.